Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage advises against envying sinners and excessive eating, drinking, or the pursuit of earthly pleasures. These behaviors lead to poverty and can result in one's heart straying from the Lord. Immorality and drunkenness can lead to strange visions, incoherence, and an inability to perceive danger. However, if you give the Lord your heart, He will save you. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 23, verse 17, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day. In a society that really dwells on pleasure and luxury, how important it is for you and I to cultivate godly contentment, to be thankful and satisfied with all that God has provided for us, and not to be lured by anyone or anything that seems to offer us something that will make our life a little happier, a little bit more fulfilling. Instead of envying those who ignore God's way, pleasing the Lord should be the believer's top priority. This is the first of six references to thine heart in this chapter. We learned in Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep or guide thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, you know why we're told this? Because my flesh and your flesh is prone to envy sinners, especially those who are wealthy, or those who are handsome or successful or good looking. There's in that flesh, just even if it be for a moment, well, man, if I only had what they have. Knowing our carnal propensity to this, our Heavenly Father tells us, don't make that fatal mistake. It is only by fearing God that we are able to see through the exterior appeal of the pleasures and attractions of this world. George Swinnock, a Puritan writer, wrote this, quote, if a man were to offer you a bag of gold or a bag of brass tokens, a bag of pearls or a bag of sand, which would you choose? To choose the things of the world is like choosing a broken cistern before a fountain of living water, dirt before diamonds, drops before the ocean. Don't envy sinners, but be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Why? Verse 18, for surely there is an end. Or in the Hebrew, it means there is another life. There's more than life here on planet Earth. And your expectation, beloved, will not be cut off. The immediate pleasure of sin cannot be compared with the ultimate satisfaction that stems from fearing God. Bishop Ryrie wrote these words, don't be unduly burdened by the problems of the present, but allow a proper perspective on the future to help you maintain a buoyant attitude in the present. Psalm 73 reveals how easy it is for those who love the Lord to be deceived by the lifestyle of the lost when we get our eyes off of Jesus and only look at things from a natural perspective. One pastor wrote these words, in all my years of ministry, I have yet to hear someone voice regret over not sinning more. Yet multiplied thousands of times, I have heard people express deep regret over the sins of their past. Don't envy sinners, because sin brings nothing but despair and death. On the other hand, you will never once be disappointed by serving, loving, and obeying the Lord. You know, when the Lord traps someone in a life of sin and then they get convicted, how beautiful it is to see them respond. This is a true story. I was going on an ice cream run for my family that took a little bit longer than usual. I happened to run into an individual in Wegmans in the frozen food department. I said, Pastor Ray, we got to talk. I'm thinking, okay. And one thing led to another. And this individual says, can we pray? They hold out their hands. And I'm thinking, okay. And this is like, I mean, this is so beautiful. And there's a brother in the Lord working in Frozen, and he's praying. And this individual is pointing out her, I got to get out of this situation. It's not godly. I can't take it anymore. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me. And we're praying. Then we open our eyes, and everybody's looking back. She bought debate. But then God intervened. Isn't it beautiful how when he intervenes and he gives you the grace to turn around? There it is. She could care less how many people were walking by. And immediately I'm the one saying, could we pray in maybe a quieter place than this? The point I'm trying to make is how God is so great. She said, I got caught in this trap. I was envious. I thought that maybe this would make my life thrilling. It's not making it thrilling. I'm feeling filthy. I'm feeling dirty. I told them, just obey the Lord. It's going to be okay. And she's going to be okay. Don't envy sinners. There is another life. Verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Once again, the importance of guiding our hearts in the ways of the Lord. They're like street signs, aren't they? The word of God. Be not among winebibbers. The New American Standard, I believe, says heavy drinkers or drunkards, or among riotous eaters of the flesh or gluttons. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And we learn in the Proverbs that overeating and overdrinking and oversleeping results in poverty spiritually and materially. And the danger here is from being among bad company. It's been said, and you've heard it, if you hang around with dogs, you can expect to get fleas. People rub off on one another. Now, you know, we hear a lot of teaching and preaching from the pulpit about drunkenness, and it's a horrible, horrible thing for people to get hung up. Then it turns into a disease, and it's very, very sad. But when was the last time you heard a Sunday morning message on gluttony, right? The drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21, and every one of you are going to say, if you haven't read this passage in a while, I am so glad I didn't live back then. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, remember that's what I just mentioned to you a few minutes ago, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones so that he die. So shall you put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. The point I'm trying to make is that gluttony is a serious sin. But we don't think of it, do we? But there it is in Scripture. There is such a thing as abusing food. And here the drunkard and the glutton put in the same sentence. Verse 22. Now, that doesn't mean if on the way home you told your wife, honey, we're going to stop for a banana split. And then your husband says to you, well, I'm not so sure if that would be the wise thing to do. You heard Pastor Ray, right? And then your wife will call me tomorrow. You realize we were going to go out for our first banana split in 5 years, and now you just ruined the whole thing, Pastor Ray. You get the idea. You know, everything was with moderation. With moderation. Verse 22, hearken unto your father that begat thee, and despise not your mother when she is old. Isn't it something that as we grow up, our parents become more precious? You know, I wish to God my dad was alive when I got saved. He passed away at 49 years old, so I didn't get to know him that well, you know. But the Bible tells us, hearken to them. They are gifts from God. The Bible, one of the commandments is honor your father and mother. And don't we see a nation that really has no regard whatsoever for any kind of authority? It's kind of like we're living in the last verse of the book of Judges. Every man is doing that which is right in his or her own eyes. God has established authority for a reason, for functional purposes. And that's a heavy responsibility for mom and dad and grandma and grandfathers like you and I. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child shall have joy of him. How true it is. What a blessing to have children that are walking with Jesus Christ. That are just wise children. John the Apostle wrote in 3 John, the 4th verse, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Verse 25, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. When I read that verse, I like to read it as the father making that appeal to me. Hear it as the father making that appeal to you tonight, beloved. My son or my daughter, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. One commentator said, a hypocritical father or mother is one who says, do as I say, not as I do. A God-fearing father or mother says, do what I say, not what I used to do. Look at my scars and learn from them. It's letting them know, hey, I was once your age, and I've learned a few things that caused me great sorrow. You don't have to go that route. There's value, there's redemptive value in our BC days of remembering just how horrible it was and to pass it on to your children and your grandchildren. The words, give me your heart, appeal to the sons and daughters' thoughts and values so that their lifestyle will be in harmony with the life that God wants us to live. The children's eyes as well as their lips and ears were important. What one sees and hears should be things that are pleasing to the Lord. And what an exhortation for us tonight. Let's just purpose to give ourselves wholly to the Lord. The Bible says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. If you're going to be all in for anything, there's only one thing that you and I can be all in for that's going to have not only earthly but eternal benefits, and that's living for Jesus Christ. You'll never regret it. I've never heard a single soul in my, and I'm sure John, our 4 decades of ministry together. Boy, John, we're getting old. I've never heard someone say, boy, you know, I really regret pressing into Jesus. You ever hear it, John? Never, 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 never. Pressing into Jesus, pouring our heart out for him. And as we see here now in verse 27, the contextual urgency of the father's appeal is related to the dangers of sexual sin. Do you think that there's dangers of sexual sin in the world for our children and grandchildren today? How many of you know that? If it was then, it is today. Only add internet. Only add all of the devices by which all of these things can come at us. And so now, give me your heart, observe my ways. Why? For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. And so two kinds of immoral women are in view here, the unmarried, the prostitute, or the woman who offers herself to you for sexual pleasures, or the married or adulterous wife. Solomon says, beware of them. How many wives did he have? How many concubines did he have? What about his dad? He's saying to his sons and daughters, listen, don't believe the lie that there's pleasure outside of the marriage bed, which is undefiled. Don't believe it. Why? She lies in wait as for prey and increases the transgressors among men. We already covered this in chapter 2, chapter 5, chapter 7, the principle of the strange woman and the sin of sexual immorality. And here the seductress is likened to a predator who is on the prowl to satisfy her sexual lusts. Even mighty men of God like Samson and David and Solomon were brought to a piece of bread because they ignored the warning of God about sexual sin, because they made provision for their flesh in extramarital encounters with strange women. And let me say here tonight, beloved, Men are just as guilty of being sexual predators as well as ladies are. I find myself telling my beautiful granddaughters now, watch out for two-legged predators who speak fluent Christianese and are more concerned with what you look like than Jesus Christ. That's what you tell your girls, right? Let me say something that is not very popular, but since we're on the subject, we'll just move on real quickly. The Bible tells us that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. And I'm hearing so much lately about, well, in this day and age, we're two consenting adults. Let me say something here. Consensual sex before marriage is still fornication in the eyes of God. And extramarital consensual sex outside of the marriage bound with someone who is not your spouse is still adultery. Please, please don't diminish the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Now, verses 29 through 35 present the longest and most articulate warning in Proverbs against drunkenness. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Well, probably the vast majority of us before we became Christians. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. The Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Isaiah 5:11 says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink that continue until night, till the wine inflame them. Look at what it says in verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. It kind of like goes, see those commercials? They make it look so, you know, well, this is probably going to taste really, really good. It never ceases to amaze me how seductive beer commercials are on television. You know, they get these muscular guys. You know, we'll be watching a baseball game, and then there's a beer commercial, and I say to Lizzie, Lizzie, how come they've never asked me to do one of those commercials? Because you'd probably never give a second. Oh, that's kind of gross. Look at the effects of being deceived by strong drink. Woe, sorrow, contentions, babbling, wounds, not to mention any adverse effect that it can possibly have upon your finances or upon your health, liver disease. It's sad. It really is sad. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. When you see people that are gripped by this, by alcohol, sad, sad. But notice that the light, at the last, it bites like a serpent. And it stings like an adder. Isn't it strange that the Holy Spirit would liken drunkenness with the effects of being bitten by a venomous snake? Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. That's true. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lies upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shall you say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Again, evidence of the addictive power of substance abuse. Adam Clark wrote in the 1800s, though beat and abused, full of pain and exhibiting a frightful figure, yet so drunk was he as to be insensible who had struck him. Still, after all this abuse and disgrace, he purposes to embrace the next opportunity of repeating his sin, or his excesses, pardon me. Sin makes a man contemptible in life, miserable in death, and wretched to all eternity. Is it not strange, then, that men should love it? The response of the drunkard the day after this horrible experience is another proof of our depravity. Men love darkness rather than light. And how many of us have been wonderfully, by the grace of God, redeemed from that. Thank you, Jesus. It's only by the grace of God, right? Only by the grace of God. So it's not like we look at people who are trapped with any kind of substance abuse with a holier-than-thou attitude. You know, your heart goes out to them. You know, just talk to Pastor John afterwards. He is with the Salvation Army about the Liberty Pole Way and just ministering to all kinds of people that are challenged every week. Right, John? And your heart, bless his heart, he's out there preaching the gospel to them because they need Christ. They're trying to fill a gap in their life that only Christ can fill. Whether it's his drinking, whether it's with substance abuse, whether it's with sexual immorality, whether it's with gambling, whatever it is, trying to fill that something that only Christ can fulfill. Now, there is a good kind of intoxication. Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Non-taxable, no hangover, and you'll absolutely be filled with joy. You know, as we go through the Proverbs, and I know many people who will read like the Proverb of the day as part of their daily or maybe their evening reading, like today's the 5th. Like many people will read Proverbs chapter 5 this morning or tonight or sometime during the day. It's a good thing. Isn't it a coincidence, a proverb for every day of the month? I don't think so. You know, before we worship tonight, whenever God is speaking to us, it's because we've been redeemed to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God wants you and I to have a godly character. Listen to this quote. Remember, God is more concerned with your character than he is with your reputation. Because your character is who God knows you are, whereas your reputation is who you want others to think you are. And if you're more concerned with your reputation than your character, then you're going to be living a double life. One in private and another in public. But how many of you know there's no such thing in the Word of God? Everything that we do is done. What you hear, you know, in the home, it's going to be shouted from the housetop. Thank God that by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I tonight can have a fruitful, joyful, fulfilling life. Amen?
Amen.
In the midst of a world that has lost its way, thank you, Jesus, for that. And Lord, we want to praise you tonight and thank you for giving us this book of Proverbs. It is so wonderful, Lord, to be able to open this book, and no matter where we are at emotionally or physically or mentally, whatever season we're in, it always says something to us that we can take home. And I don't know how you spoke to my brothers and sisters tonight. Again, that verse, give me your heart, let your eyes observe my ways, Lord. That seems to just pound in my heart because I need to keep my eyes on you. I need to observe your ways, Lord. It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get smothered with the thorns of this life or the things of the flesh. Oh, Lord, we thank you that Jude promises that you are able to keep us from falling. And we hang on to that promise and purpose tonight by your wonderful grace to walk out of here with a greater determination to follow you, to serve you, and to apply our heart unto instruction. In Jesus' name.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.